This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran. إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هلك مال في بحر ولا بر إلا بحبس الزكاة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حصنوا أموالكم بالزكاة وداووا مرضاكم بالصدقة. My dear respected friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has great wisdom in the way He does things. Sometimes it takes us quite a while to understand the wisdom behind the way things are in this world sometimes. So one of the things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept great discrepancy in terms of the wealth of different individuals. Everybody sitting here will be of a different status in their wealth. Some people will, mashallah, have lots of money, lots of disposable income. Some people will be struggling. For some people, it will be difficult. Life will not be so easy. Just as a source of consolation, I read a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari yesterday. And this was in the chapter of Riqaq, heart-softening ahadith, in which it spoke about the final days, the hisab on the day of judgment, the accounting, the reckoning. And it mentioned that the one group of people that will enter before others will be those people who have been poor in this world. They'll have less to deal with. Tax returns are easier for poor people. They don't even have to fill them in. So the more you have, the more addendums you have to add, the more sheets you have to fill in, the more forms you have to fill in. Just like as it is in this world, in the hereafter, the more money you have. And this is not to say you shouldn't have any money. Don't get me wrong here. This is not what I'm trying to say. I'm just mentioning this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked to keep himself as voluntarily poor. Millions would pass through his hands, but he kept himself at the status as the lowest person in the community. That's a major achievement. That is what you call a prophet. So that the lowest person in the community, the most poorest individual, if he is hungry, he would find consolation and solace in the fact that his prophet was also hungry. Months would pass by, weeks would pass by, days would pass by, as Aisha radiallahu anha said, that we would just survive on dates and water and nothing would be cooked on the fire. The fire would never come on. This was the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite the fact that the riches of the world collected would come through his arms, his hands, and he would give them over to others. So this discrepancy that we have in this world is for a number of reasons. There's discrepancy in everything. There's differences. اختلافوا ألسنتكم وألوانكم. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, everybody is different. This is what makes this world and this dunya and gives it its excitement and its beauty. This is what it is. If everybody was the same cookie cutter style coming off a conveyor belt, if everybody was the same, what excitement would there be in this world? What difference? What challenge? What kind of interaction would we have with anybody else? So now, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done is He's taught us how to live in any circumstance. If you're a wealthy person, we have role models to follow in that, in the people like Uthman ibn Affan, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Zubayr ibn al-Awam, and numerous other Sahaba that were wealthy, millionaires or billionaires. And if you're poor, then you also have Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, you have Rasulullah, you have so many people. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the wealthy, there's certain things you must do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the poor, you must be patient and keep your tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many of us in between. Now, the point of today's discussion is that I remember once a person came to me. I was giving a program in Ramadan in Los Angeles, in Orange County actually. And this individual came to me and he said to me, "Sheikh, I've got a big issue." This was just after the main program. We were going to have another program later, but they were just after the main program. He says, he came, I've got some major issues in my life. I've done all of these businesses. He seemed to be an entrepreneur. Somebody who liked to get himself into different businesses, but nothing seemed to be going right. So he comes and he says, I need something. I need you to help me out. You know, none of these businesses are going right. Basically, I roll the dice. I never get a six. I mean, that's a metaphor. It's an exaggeration. So it's never going right for me. And he seemed to be, you know, he's an older kind of individual, middle ages with children, etc. I gave him a few things. I gave him a bit of advice. Later on, as the night proceeded, it was one of the big nights. And as the night proceeded, he came back to me. He came back to me and he said to me that I haven't given zakat of my wealth. It's been so many years that I've never paid zakat. Somehow sitting there, he was inspired that this is the cause of your problem. So he came to me and he confessed openly that I haven't given zakat for a long time. And I said, you've just hit the nail on the head. This is your problem. This is your problem. You're trying everything that you want to do. You want abundance. You want quick, rich schemes. You're doing all of these things to diversify your wealth. Don't put anything in one pot. Don't put everything in one pot. Diversify. If one industry goes down, you've got the other. He's doing all of these. So from a capitalist perspective, you know, from a business MBA perspective, he seems to be doing everything right to a certain degree. But there's something just pulling the ground from underneath. It's like there's an endless pit in which he's throwing his money and it's just going somewhere else. The reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do two things. He's instituted zakat. One of the meanings of zakat is purification. Zakat is not only a purification of the person from their sins, because it's a fulfillment of one of the main pillars of Islam. It's a pillar of Islam. You have money, you have to pay zakat on it. So it's a purification of the individual, their heart, their closest to Allah, their relationship. That's one thing. Number two, whenever we have wealth, we don't know where all of our wealth comes from. Meaning we see the apparent source of our wealth, but especially in this time and age, when the entire industry that we live in is based on usury and interest and a big bubble. And subhanAllah, where is this wealth coming from? Halal, haram sources, doubtful sources. Now, I don't want to make us paranoid about this, but regardless of when anybody lives, and this is there's stories with Imam Malik rahimahullah about this, etc. What happens is, part of our wealth that we earn, even if it's from an apparently halal source, there's going to be some pollution in there, some corruption, some adulteration in there. Zakat, what it does is, it fulfills two different things. It fulfills a number of purposes. One of the purposes is that it fulfills the purification of the wealth as well. When you have purified wealth, it is then less likely to be destroyed by calamity. It is then less likely to attract calamity, to attract a negative influence of that sort. We in Islam, we believe in positive influences and negative influences. When you don't have dirt as part of something, it's pure, it's clean, it's protected. So ulama mentioned, stay on wudu, you'll be protected, because that's a good state to be in, the state of wudu and ablution. When you're not in a state of ablution, you're in a weaker state from the shaitan as well. It's a general understanding in this. Keep on ghusl, don't be in a seminally defiled state. Our wealth should also be purified, because none of us really always knows if every cent, every penny that we earn is 100% halal. Regardless, even if it was 100% halal, we still have to pay. Allah has made it easy for us. It's not everything you earn that you pay zakat on. Income tax, 20%, 25%, 30%, 45%, 40%, whatever it is, you have to pay on every penny that you earn, depending on your threshold. There's no, you know, it gets taken out before you even get it. However, in zakat, it's not like that. Allah's made it very easy. Relative to 20%, it's only 2.5%, which is literally £2.50 from every 100. £25 from every 1,000. £25 from every 1,000. And 250 from every 10,000. People making 20,000, how much are they paying a year on zakat? 500. It'd be double that amount, 500. But not 500 if you don't have the 20,000. Zakat is only paid on your retained wealth after a year, not on what you earn right off. So if my expenses, if my income is 20,000 and my expenses in between were 10,000, and I've only got 10,000 that is free of debt, that I don't owe anybody, and I've got 10,000 sitting in my bank, then I only pay zakat on that. If my expenses were 15,000 or 18,000 and I've only got 2,000 left, that's all I pay zakat on. I pay on 2,000, which means I pay £50 at the end of the year. Now if somebody can't even pay that, you know, everybody knows this, and if you've got a debt that's bigger than your retain, if I've only got 10,000 in the bank, but I owe 30,000 to my dad or my brother or somebody else, even interest-free loan, then I don't owe any zakat because I'm actually 20,000 negative. So this is as easy as it's made. So one of the purpose is to fulfill, purify the wealth. Number two, it's to purify the individual and keep him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, sympathy with the poor. To even out the balances in this world. To help those in your local community that don't have. That, you know, many people actually send their zakat outside the country. We actually have local effort, alhamdulillah, Nawal Benevolence Fund to deal with local poverty. You'd be surprised, there are people who are poor locally. You'd be surprised. You think everybody makes it by? No, there are people who are poor locally. You'd be surprised at that. But anyway, this is the purpose of zakat. If a person doesn't pay zakat, listen to what happens to his wealth. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim which mentions that the zakat is the wasikhu amwalin nas. It's the dirt of the wealth of people. That's why you cannot give zakat to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their honor does not allow them to accept zakat. You can give them a gift, but you cannot give them zakat. They're not allowed to accept zakat. It's the wasikhu amwalin nas, as in the hadith of Muslim. That's why majority of ulama will concur with this, that you cannot use zakat on building a masjid because it's the dirt. You're building an institution of da'wah and guidance. Yes, there are some fatwas out there that allow it, but those are isolated opinions because it goes against the whole spirit of zakat. Zakat is for the poor. Zakat is for the needy. Zakat is to even out those balances. And subhanAllah, there was a scholar who gave a speech in the UN about a decade or more ago. I know this scholar. And what he mentioned there was one thing very important. He said that if you take the statistics of the world and the rich people that should be paying zakat and you take the poor people, there's definitely an imbalance there, no doubt. There's the top wealthiest people, the top wealth of the world is concentrated in a very small amount of people. But regardless of that, anybody who should be paying zakat, if they do pay 2.5% of their retained wealth at the end of the year, poverty would be removed from this world. But the problem is that this doesn't always happen. We know in history where it did happen. If you go and study Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Khalif in the Umayyads who followed Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, he became Khalif by accident. He was actually a cousin. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who was in the line of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who tried to make his children the next Khalif, but they were too young. And one of his advisors, who was a pious individual, he suggested to him that ask Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, your cousin, who was the governor of Medina Munawwara at the time. When Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came in, he ruled for 2 years and 4 or 5 months. Within that time in North Africa, it became such that when the zakat collector with his zakat went to look for people to give it to, nobody would be able to accept zakat because everybody had enough that prevented them from taking zakat. They were no longer technically considered poor. So this is in North Africa, in the end of the first century of Islam, that this has been already shown within the domain. This is when you've got a pious ruler, a knowledgeable pious ruler, the Mujaddid of the first century, the reviver of the first century. And he puts that, he creates that culture of understanding. It says that in his time, rather than people talking about business and what they earned and flashy cars and clothes and things, they started talking about how many nawafil have you done, brother, yesterday? Because this was the effect top down. An-nas ala deeni mulukihim. People are on the deen of their rulers. So this is what they manage. Now that's asking for a lot today. But that's the side point. The point is that zakat is extremely necessary. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, protect your wealth. Hassinu amwalakum. Protect your wealth by zakat. By taking out that 2.5%, protect the rest of your wealth. وَدَاوُ مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ And cure your ill and your sick by giving sadaqah. Sadaqah removes the anger of the Lord. الصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ It removes the anger of the Lord. It provides barakah in the house. This is additional sadaqah. Zakat is necessary. That's a pillar of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma halaka malun fi bahrin wala barrin illa bihabsi zakat." That any wealth that is going to be depleted, destroyed, in whether on the land or the sea, it's just an exaggeration there. It can only be depleted because of withholding zakat. I know somebody personally, or a distant relative, and this is a story of about 25 years ago. His business burnt down in one of the northern towns. His business burnt down, and his wealth did not. His money. I mean, those days people used to keep a lot of money in places, right? Apparently, that money was not touched. He was very diligent about giving his zakat. You don't know the barakah of giving zakat. It's fulfilling an obligation. Improving our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purification of our wealth. And essentially, it's to our benefit. We're removing the toxins from our wealth. It also, another wonderful thing is that if you have wealth that zakat has been given on, that wealth of yours, because of its purity, it will protect you from sinning with that wealth. Sins take place when a person has too much money. Then they feel that I can go here, I can take this trip, I can buy this ticket, I can go to this casino, I can do this. When you got money, money has mischief. That's the fitna of money. Intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with it. But the way we're made, it's just the way we're made. You're a mother-in-law, a daughter-in-law. Individually, they're perfectly nice individuals. Put them together in certain cases, and some reaction takes place. Wealth is perfectly fine, the human being is fine. Put them together sometimes problems take place. That's the fitna of wealth. Give your zakat and you'll notice that your wealth, you'll get barakah. That barakah will actually help you not to use wealth in haram. Subhanallah. Today we have many problems. There's addictions of wealth. Addictions of gambling. Gambling is one of those things that we have such a big problem with because you've got always two or three gambling shops all together, one in front of the other. Check around. Check on your high street how many gambling shops you have. Because they can only have certain machines in each one, so that's why they maximize that and they can make their money. I talked to a person who was seriously addicted. He said it's an addiction that you cannot smell on someone. You can't see it. It's a psychological addiction that is a big problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't even get into it. Get help if you're into it. It's a big problem. It will destroy you. Rather give zakat and get your barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I'm not doing any fundraising here. This is not a fundraising event. This is literally just to talk, right, with consultation with the imam. This is just to remind us all of this important institution of Islam, of zakat, the pillar of Islam, so that we as a Muslim community, when individuals are healthy, their money is healthy, then inshallah the community will be healthy. Then inshallah we can be saved from many of the challenges that we're facing today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah allow us to think in more humanitarian ways, empathically about others, to help the people. Muslims are the biggest donors. Muslims are the biggest donors apparently in this country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do even more and to fulfill this obligation. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.